Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Deliciously Stellar podcast. Today I am talking to registered nutritionist Laura Thomas, who is going to tell me all about coconuts.
Coconut oil is not only not good for us, but it may actually be bad for us.
So although I do really, really, really love gluten, I have just eaten a gluten-free cake and it was actually really, really delicious. It's from this place called Pearl and Groove, which is a bakery that's in Notting Hill. And they're very moist. Very moist gluten-free cakes. I thought they might be a bit dry and crumbly, but it's absolutely not. I think it might be full of almonds, which makes me hate myself a bit, but it was delicious. Hello, Laura.
Hi.
Thanks so much for coming in today.
You're very welcome. Very excited to be here.
So, first of all, can you tell me a little bit about what it means to be a registered nutritionist?
Sure. So a registered nutritionist is sort of a semi-protected term. So the Association for Nutrition, who are part of the Nutrition Society in the UK, are trying to get it a legally protected status, kind of like a dietitian, so that people who don't have degrees from accredited universities can't call themselves nutritionists, and they definitely can't call themselves a registered nutritionist. So in order to become a registered nutritionist, you have to have gone to an accredited university, gone through a proper program, and you have to submit sort of a portfolio of evidence that suggests that you abide by the code of ethics in order to practice nutrition, and that you also practice evidence-based nutrition. So you look at the scientific evidence to inform your practice rather than just making shit up that you read on a blog.
Yeah, I mean, there does seem to be, you know, quite an abundance of made-up bullshit. Nutri-bullshit, as I like to call it. Yeah, no, it's insane. You can buy a nutritionist course off Time Out magazine currently for about £30. And over the course of 1 weekend, you become an expert in diet, wellness and self-improvement.
Exactly. Whereas I trained for over 10 years at universities. I have a PhD in nutrition as well. So it's really frustrating to see people who have about as much education as my cat, you know, spouting all this nutrition information like they're experts. And what's really upsetting about it is that people buy into it and believe it. It can be quite detrimental and harmful to their health, ultimately.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm worried about. But I'm just trying to think, like, maybe someone could literally just get their cat to read out reasons to give up gluten on Instagram. And that would be the next big thing. Your cat's gluten-free?
My cat is definitely gluten-free.
Is it actually?
Well, I mean, they're carnivores, so they should be gluten-free. I'd be worried if he wasn't.
I don't know. Those cat bites look like they might have gluten in, but that you don't think they do.
I don't know. I'm going to go home and read the Dreamies label now when I get in, though.
Yeah, just in case. Your cat could be a celiac and you could be poisoning him.
Slowly poison him with gluten.
Okay, so what we really want to talk about today is coconuts. So coconut oil seems to be something that has just like flooded the market for middle-class white women. It's like, oh no, olives are bad now and coconuts are the only oil that you can ever use.
Right.
So can you please tell me a little bit about why you think this coconut oil business is a bit of a myth?
Well, actually, it's not just me who thinks, you know, I didn't just come up with this theory that coconut oil is bad. Yeah, no. But all I mean to say is that the Nutrition Society, actually, sorry, not the Nutrition Society. This is the British Nutrition Foundation, who are a slightly different organization, but same sort of gist that they advocate for evidence-based nutrition and for the advancement of nutritional sciences. And in their nutrition bulletin earlier this year, they came out with an article called Coconut Oil, a Nutty Idea. And essentially, they'd noticed what you're talking about, that this sort of explosion in coconut oil-based products. And they were like, hold on, what's the deal with coconut oil? Where is this coming from? So they went back and they reviewed the scientific literature. And essentially what they concluded was that coconut oil is not only not good for us, but it may actually be bad for us.
No, it's not bad, is it?
No, actually, it's bad.
Oh God, I love the glee in my voice, the thought that coconut oil might be bad. With roast potatoes that taste tropical.
Right. And so the rationale behind this is that coconut oil is around about 92% saturated fats, which, to put that into perspective, butter is only about 60%. Not that you should be going ham on butter either.
I love butter.
I mean, who doesn't? But, you know, you're not going to like add it to your coffee and your smoothie and everything else that you're eating every single meal of the day. Maybe you will.
I did think about eating it off a knife on its own the other day. I'd spread some on my toast and then I was like, oh, there's a bit left. And then I realized that was absolutely disgraceful after I'd done it.
I don't know.
But I won't do it again.
Because it's mixed in with the crumbs as well. That's the tasty part.
It was absolutely not acceptable. It was awful. But my mum does stuff like that. My mum's addicted to butter. So like it's been passed down. It's a genetic thing.
All right, I'll let it slide then. Yeah, so the problem with saturated fats then is that they can raise our LDL cholesterol, which is the bad kind of cholesterol, which can raise our risk of heart disease. Mm. And heart disease is one of the biggest killers in the UK. One or two, depending on which statistics you look at.
So coconuts kill.
Yeah, they're evil. They're going to get you. So I don't know if you, just to put that into perspective again, we're supposed to keep our saturated fat levels to less than 11% of our calories. And so that works out about 20 grams for women and 30 grams for men. Now, if we consider that a tablespoon of coconut oil has about 13 or 14 grams of saturated fat in it, that's sort of 2/3 to 3/4 of your saturated fat intake gone in one tablespoon of coconut oil. So that's pretty terrifying.
That is nuts. And you know, there's people who like put it in their coffee. I mean, there are many people who use it as moisturizers, even as sexual lubricants.
I mean, fair enough. Use it to take off your makeup. It makes a great sort of body scrub for exfoliating, but just don't put it in your fucking smoothie. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, also, why would you want your smoothie to be oily? Surely that takes the joy out of what would be a delicious smoothie.
Yeah, because it leaves that kind of like weird film in your mouth?
Have claggy you is the word I would use. A claggy feel.
Ooh, that, my boyfriend likes that word a lot.
Does he?
I'm not sure how I feel about it.
Now that I've said it twice, I really like it. Claggy. So my favourite food of all time is actually bread. Just bread. Well, actually, I think just like all gluten-based products. So pastries. I really, really love pastries. Like nothing gets me going like a croissant. My sister once ate so many croissants that we teased her that she needed to go to Croissants Anonymous. She would go into work and she would have 2 croissants on the way to work. She sort of confessed this to me like a really dirty secret on our way home once. She was like, "You wouldn't believe how many croissants I've been eating lately." I was like, croissants are like the Katrina Young crack. Yeah, no, I would have loved it if she'd been wearing a berry and a bread on top. There's a picture of me on Delicious Cellar eating a croissant in a bread on top, just to talk about how annoying it is when people are like, "Oh my God, I can't believe I'm on my way to France." Well, I don't know how you can't believe you're on your way to France. You booked your ticket. Like, you boarded the Eurostar. Surely you've booked accommodation. You knew you were going. You must be able to believe it. You must. So, obviously, we think that coconut oil is bad. But there must be some sort of health benefits to coconut. There must be something that's made these people decide that coconut oil is actually good for you.
Yeah, so a lot of the studies that coconut evangelists point to are actually really poorly done, for one. So, for example, they've done a lot of studies on like 10 people. But a lot of the studies on coconut oil are actually done on animals or in a test tube.
Right.
So obviously that's really difficult to extrapolate onto people, but they like to do that anyway. Mm. So it's this idea of taking the headline of one study and just saying it applies to everybody without kind of looking at the whole literature or the preponderance of evidence, as we like to call it.
Great word.
But the studies that have been done on actual human people, where we feed them spoonfuls of coconut oil, immediately their LDL cholesterol pops up. And then as soon as you stop feeding it to them, it goes right back down again. So right. It's pretty difficult to argue against.
Yeah, I mean, I as a human being who has high cholesterol, in spite of being reasonably small and doing quite a lot of exercise. I have really high cholesterol, but it's apparently it's not the bad kind. But it would be if I ate a lot of coconut oil, right?
Yeah, no, that would pop up your LDL cholesterol. But yeah, some people just genetically have high cholesterol. And, you know, as long as you're doing the other things, like you're eating a bunch of fiber and you're working out and you're not smoking, then you're probably going to be fine. But what worries me is the people that have the high cholesterol that are eating shitty diets and not working out. And then they think, oh, I'll just add a spoonful of coconut oil and everything's going to be fine. Mm. And that's not really the reality of it.
So what makes people think that coconuts are a superfood then, do you think?
So there were a couple of studies that sort of reported that coconut oil could help people lose weight. Of course, everyone wants to lose weight.
That's the one, isn't it?
Yeah. So there's one study on weight loss where they told women to replace their cooking oil, their normal cooking oil, with either soybean oil or coconut oil. And then they found that both groups ended up losing weight, but both groups were also cutting their calories by about 10%. And they were walking for like an hour a day extra.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Top of their normal exercise. So obviously they lost weight. So again, it's kind of like jumping onto a headline without actually looking at the details around the study and just jumping on a conclusion.
Well, I think that's what people do with juice cleanses, isn't it? They're like, oh, I went on a juice cleanse, I lost so much weight. Of course you lost loads of weight. All you did was drink juice, which was incidentally full of sugar, which you happen to think is the devil.
Exactly. And that's one of the things that really upsets me about the whole clean eating trend, is that there's just such a lack of understanding and awareness about carbohydrates and how they're metabolized in the body. And so, for example, you get a lot of these bloggers who are like, oh, don't eat pineapples and bananas and all these tropical fruits because they're too high in sugar. And then the next minute they're talking about pouring date syrup all over their food or eating baked sweet potatoes, when in reality, the sweet potatoes have a glycemic index way higher than a banana or a pineapple. So it's just this lack of understanding of how the foods even work in our bodies.
Yeah, I mean, I have a psychiatrist who's obsessed with talking about the propensities of bananas, and I hate bananas. And she's
Wait, what's their problem with bananas?
No, she loves bananas.
Oh, she loves bananas.
Yeah, and she said that like one of the quickest ways to like stable mood is to eat a banana a day. And I'm like, but I don't like bananas. What can I possibly do? And she's like, you will find a way to like bananas.
Otherwise, like, you're going to be clinically depressed?
Yes, yes. So she believes I'll be clinically depressed if I don't find a way to like bananas. She was like, eat them with yogurt or put them in a smoothie. And I was like, no, but you don't understand. I don't like the taste of bananas. Like, I really, really, really don't like them.
So what's her solution?
There isn't
Xanax?
One. There isn't one. I'm going to die without bananas. Yeah, bananas or Xanax.
These are my options.
These are literally my options. Like, learn to like bananas or take all of the Prozac all of the time. I made a new friend this week. His name is Leon. And I told him that I do this podcast and he got really excited. And he's made me promise I will tell this joke that he told me on air. And I'm really sorry, but I'm going to do it. So his joke is, I went into the butcher's the other day and a guy offered me 8 legs of venison for 180 quid. Went home to my wife, I told her, and I was like, what do you think? 8 legs of venison, 180 quid. Is that too dear? I'm so sorry, that was so bad. Ba-boom.
The problem with all of this stuff is that, well, what really annoys me is when you see on Instagram, like, an avocado on toast with an egg cooked in coconut oil with a side of bacon and somebody calling that a healthy breakfast. Because it's this concept that, and I know everyone hates this, but it's everything in moderation, you know? Mm. A little bit of avocado is great because it has some mono and polyunsaturated fatty acids. Great. Too much avocado, like anything, is just going to make you fat.
Mm. Avocados make you fat. It's not a popular sentence.
No, it's not cool. But the other thing with having too much fatty foods in the diet is that it displaces other important nutrients like fiber. So what I'm seeing when I'm working with clients and I'm analyzing their diets is that they're eating sort of 50% of their calories are coming from good fats. But, you know, that's at the expense of fiber. So you can't eat so much good fat that fiber becomes unimportant. You need to balance the two things out.
Yeah. So one thing I'd like to know is, in the absence of coconut oil, which oil is best to use?
And you're actually going to hate this.
Is it a bad one?
No. Well, it depends on your perspective, I think. But from, okay, I'm not going to claim I'm an expert on this, and I'm kind of trying to weigh up all the options myself. Mm-hmm. So I think it actually goes back to olive oil.
Yeah.
Classic.
Yeah, classic. Love it.
Or I think the new one that everyone's going to get really excited about is avocado oil.
Oh, God's sake.
But I'm still kind of reading through the literature and trying to, I'll get back to you once I've made a decision. But actually, I prefer to try and get all my fat from the food that I eat. And then when I'm cooking, again, you're probably going to hate this, but I try and, like, if I'm making a stir fry, I'll just cook it in, like, some tamari or soy sauce, or just cook it in vinegar. I know your face is saying, you know. But, yeah. No, honestly, trust me, it works. It's called steam frying.
And steam frying.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not really.
It's a thing.
I don't do a lot of stir frying, but I'll try it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or if you're, like, braising, I don't know, some vegetables or something, you can use just, like, a balsamic vinegar or whatever kind of vinegar you would
use. Okay. So obviously you and I share a belief that this wellness jargon thing's gone a bit too far, that none of it's really backed up by science. But still, they are being given this massive platform to tell people what to eat, how to eat, like what to wear, what to do. Like, what do you think is going to be the thing that just hits people over? How do you think people are going to find out about, well, other than via this podcast?
Right.
How do you think that people are going to find out, like, that the myths about coconut oil, like, are real and that avocados aren't necessarily the best thing in the world?
Yeah, it's a shame that scientists, research scientists and dietitians and registered nutritionists don't have more of a platform. But something I'm trying to do in my work, I write a lot for the Huffington Post, where I write about a lot of these myths and try and shut them down and actually use real credible science to base my argument on. So I think if more people could do that, that would be great. I think it's unfortunate that a lot of these people are really pretty and have a lot of money and have a lot of time and are very privileged and have such a big platform. Mm. But there have been a few things in the press recently that people are kind of getting over the whole clean eating thing, and they're starting to ask for more science and ask for, you know, what's really going on. I think there is a bit more interest in there.
I've seen a real turn, like, I think even in the last couple of weeks, where people are really sort of getting quite hot on it. And I think people didn't really expect it to get as big as it did.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's, I think people are starting to catch on. And another thing is that there's just so much wildly conflicting information out there. And people are sort of like, well, what am I supposed to believe? I want the truth. And in order to get there, we need to look at the science, because that's the thing that's going to get us the closest to the truth in the long run.
Yeah. I think people are just like looking at them going, please make me rich and thin like you. And it's like, yeah, well, you kind of need their parents in order to have done that.
Yeah.
It's genetics and the class system.
And the Exactly. So I think there will be a turn.
Yeah, I'm enjoying the turn. I like to think that I've slightly helped push towards it.
You've definitely played your part.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Yeah,
fighting the good fight.
I've done my best. Like, when it first started out, I think it was really well-intentioned. I think that these girls were like, this has worked for me. Maybe it'll work for someone else. I'm going to really get behind it. Mm-hmm. But since that moment, they must have been on the internet or opened a book, and they must know it's wrong, and yet they're still going.
I don't know. I've spoken to a lot of people who've done these sort of pseudo-nutrition courses, and I've looked at the curriculum, and And they put it forward in such a compelling way that people really buy into it. But there's no real science there to substantiate it or back it up. So they've bought into these things so hard. There's a concept in science called confirmation bias, which is where you only seek out information that backs up your hypothesis that you have. And so I feel like that extends to what's going on with a lot of these people. And like you were saying, I do believe that it was really well-intentioned at first. And I think it's great that people are creating these recipes that have more fruits and vegetables, and they're encouraging and inspiring people to eat healthier. It's just a shame that they're missing that nutrition training, like that legitimate nutrition training. Because what I'm also really concerned about and what I'm seeing is people kind of going too far and too deep into it and getting too concerned and coming out with an eating disorder.
Orthorexia.
With orthorexia, yeah. Or anorexia or bulimia. Like, they're all on the same spectrum.
Yeah.
And it's a real problem.
Something that's really struck me recently is how many parents or, like, my friends of people my parents' age get in touch with me and they say, I'm so glad you're around because my daughter got really into those books and she actually genuinely got an eating disorder.
Yeah.
And now she's obsessed with what she eats. And looking at you makes it easier because she can laugh at it and she can sort of step out of it a little bit. And I'm like, God, that's so nuts. Yeah. It's taken me strapping hula hoops to my gut to sort of go, hey, maybe we shouldn't try and replace a complex carbohydrate with courgettes.
Right.
And call it a meal.
Exactly. And something that I like to talk about on my podcast, I've done a lot of work with people who have had eating disorders sort of as part of my nutrition training. And it's something that I'm really concerned about and really passionate about. And so on my podcast, I try and get a lot of body positivity people on there to just say, you know, we don't have to look like this one very specific aesthetic, that there are other body shapes and there are other body types, and you can, you know, eat your cake and eat a Mars bar, whatever it is that you want to do, and still be healthy and still be pretty and confident and all those things.
So you can actually have your cake and eat it.
Well, that's all for this time. Thank you so much for listening again to the Deliciously Stellar podcast. And don't forget to subscribe on iTunes and follow me on Instagram. See you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Next time.